Well, we're going through a short series going back to the basics of our Christian faith, the things that we believe and why we believe them. We started out a few weeks ago by considering who God is, God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we realised very quickly, didn't we, that God is beyond our understanding. God is beyond anything that our feeble minds can cope with in reality. And yet he's chosen to reveal himself to us. Everything we know about God is what God has chosen to tell us. And that's revealed to us in a general sense through his creation. We can see that there is a God just by seeing his wonderful creation around us. There must be a creator behind it. We have a conscience which tells us right and wrong. And again, that tells us that there must be someone who's given us that conscience to know and decide what right and wrong is. But we also see God, don't we, through his word. That's where we have the greatest revelation of God himself. He's given us his word to explain to us, to tell us who he is. And we saw also, didn't we, that God is revealed in the image of his Son. And that's what we looked at for the second week. The image of the invisible God, the Son, the Creator, our Saviour and our Lord. And last week we moved on to the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, often regarded as the most mysterious of the persons of the Trinity. And yet the Bible tells us plenty about the Holy Spirit. And we noted, didn't we, that the works of the Spirit in our lives are many and various. He brings us to faith. He encourages us in our daily walk. He gives us everything we need to live the life we've been called to live. He sanctifies us and produces his fruit in our lives. And he will guide us safely to our eternal home. So we've had a look at who God is. And even though we can't do justice to who God is, we've had a glimpse the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit of just who God really is. Well, this week we're moving on to the Bible. Talk about the Bible. And our statement of faith, if you know it, says this: God has revealed himself in the Bible, which consists of the Old and New Testaments alone. Every word was inspired by God through human authors, so that the Bible, as originally given, is entirely the Word of God, without error and fully reliable in fact and doctrine. The Bible alone speaks with final authority and is always sufficient for all matters of belief and practice. Well, let's have a think about the Bible for a minute. The canon of Scripture, as we call it. What is Scripture? The written Word of God. It consists of the Old and New Testaments, as our statement of faith says, 66 books written by 40 different human authors, but inspired by one Spirit. It's incredible, isn't it, that the Bible, in written over a period of, I think, something like 1,500 years, is cohesive. It all fits together. It all ties up nicely. There's nothing that is fragmented about it. All the Bible comes together and it speaks of Jesus. It speaks of God and what he's done for us. That's what the Bible tells us and teaches us. But can we be sure that what we have today is what we ought to have? Can we be sure that the Bibles we have are what God wanted us to have? Well, there's lots of reasons, and you can look into this yourself. I'm not going to go into it all tonight. Why we can trust what we find in the Bible. There's lots of good stuff in books and the internet to explain why the Bible has been passed down and is correct, really, and is right. But one thing that really, for me, says it all, really, is that it's God's Word. And I'm sure that God is powerful enough to make sure we've got what he wants us to have. And that's all I need to know, really. God is powerful enough to make sure that what we have is what he wants us to know. And it hasn't got lost in the process. You know, the word canon means a straight rule, and it was used of the rule of law to determine if something measured up to the right standard. So when we talk about the canon of Scripture, we're talking about that straight rule of God that is the right standard. And you know, the basis of our Christian faith is found in the authority of Scripture, isn't it? That's where we find it. We'll come back to that in a minute. Because if we haven't got it there, where do we get it from? It's nothing more than human opinions, is it? Only when we know the Scriptures can we determine God's truth from error. Well, how was it decided which book should be in the Bible? Well, the Old Testament, in a sense, was fairly straightforward. The Old Testament was the Jewish Scriptures, the Hebrew Scriptures. And three things were taken into consideration about those Scriptures in what was brought into the Bible as we know it today. And that is whether the New Testament alludes or quotes from the Old Testament books. And it quotes from nearly every Old Testament book apart from two. Jesus endorsed the Scriptures, did he, the Jewish Scriptures. In Matthew 23, verse 35, he cites one of the very first narratives. He talks about Abel, and also one of the very last. He talks about Zechariah, and those were the Scriptures of his day. And he spoke really, he quoted from many of the books of the Old Testament as well. The Jews also were meticulous in the way they preserved their Scriptures. And they had the Old Testament Scriptures, and there were no real controversies in the Jewish beliefs about what should belong to those Scriptures. And the early church itself had some very specific criteria for the books that were to be considered as part of the New Testament. Was it written by someone who had an eyewitness account of Jesus Christ? Did it pass what they called the truth test? I.e., did it fall in line with other Scriptures? Did it match up with what the rest of the Scriptures were teaching? And you know, the New Testament books that were accepted have endured the test of time, haven't they? And Christian orthodoxy has embraced those books, the Scriptures that we have, and really without much challenge over the time. The Scriptures we have today, we've had for about the last 2,000 years. And this is God's Word. It's the way God primarily reveals himself to mankind. Ultimately, as we said already, God guided the early church councils in their recognition of which Scriptures to be included. This is what God has guided man to produce, if you like. And what God wanted is what we've got today. It is our touchstone, isn't it? Now, those of you that know me will know that one of my favourite passages is to be found in Acts chapter 17, where we talk about the Bereans. And I couldn't go tonight talking about Scripture without quoting that. And so I'm going to. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. There they were, the Bereans, checking up on the Apostle Paul, using the Scriptures. And they're commended for doing so. They weren't going to believe even the Apostle Paul just because he said it. They wanted to make sure that it was in line with the Scriptures. As believers, what do we use in deciding what is right? Where do we get the opinions, if you like, of what is right and wrong for us as believers? What about our society? Do we sometimes accept things that society says just because of the people who say it? It's a curious fact, isn't it, that very often we will believe something because of the person saying it. For instance, if someone who's a scientist says something, we often take notice because he's a scientist and therefore must be right. Sometimes the government likes to roll out its pet scientists, doesn't it, to say things that they want us to hear. I was reading, well, some time ago now, I remember I had an old newspaper that I found from 1940. I think it was 1940, it was a long time ago anyway. And there were some government scientists who were being quoted in that newspaper, and they were saying that there was no problems with atomic bombs and radiation, that there wasn't going to be an issue, that there was no danger to the population through the radiation of atomic bombs. Well, I think they were proved wrong, weren't they? You know, even scientists don't know everything. And sometimes, you know, scientists don't reveal the truth because it would harm their credibility. And sometimes they make things up to confirm their theories. But I won't go into that tonight. We have to be careful about what we believe that society tells us. That shouldn't be our authority, ultimately. What about what the church tells you? Well, you know, it's important, isn't it, that we check up on things in everyday life. But it's also important for us as Christians to check up on what we're taught in church. We need to be sure that what we're being told is correct. Now, that isn't to say we should all just become totally cynical and disbelieve everything. Of course not. What we should do is be like the Bereans. Listen eagerly and then check up on what is said ourselves. So who do we check with? Where does our authority lie? And some people's authority lies with the church. That's how they see it. If it's decreed by the church, then it must be right. This is the approach adopted by the Roman Catholic Church, where individuals aren't encouraged to think for themselves. Rather, the church interprets everything, and that's the final word on the matter. In fact, if you were to read the Roman Catholic doctrines, they would say, they say in that, that the traditions of the church are on a par with the scriptures. In fact, they put it first. The traditions of the church come first. They're saying that what they teach as a church is more important than what the Bible teaches. That can become oppressive, doesn't it? Because your beliefs are dictated by someone else. And that flies in the face of what the Bereans were doing. They were checking up. What about traditions? We all love a bit of tradition, don't we? People say, it must be right because we've always done it that way. It's traditional. And our traditions can be very powerful in dictating the way that we think. And traditions aren't necessarily wrong, but sometimes it's good to reevaluate them and think about them. They shouldn't form the basis of what we believe. Then, of course, there's the preacher. What the preacher tells you on a Sunday. And some people will believe whatever their pastor tells them. Which is perfectly all right in this church, I have to say. But the fact is, again, you know, we mustn't do that, must we? And again, I'm not suggesting we become cynical. But it doesn't matter how good a preacher is, they're not infallible, they're human. We make mistakes. And we need, all of us need to check up on what we're being taught. Whoever it is at the front teaching. So you can't rely on people. You can't rely on the church. You can't rely on traditions. What can you rely on? God's word. That is our authority. It's the scriptures that tell us what we need to know. God's put in the scriptures everything he wants us to know. That's his revelation to his people. This is the word of God, and that's what we can rely on. It's the only thing that we can truly rely on. Because it's not man's ideas, it's not man's thoughts, it's not man's traditions. It's what God wants us to know. Is the Bible reliable? That's a fair question, I suppose. On a purely human level, many people have tried to disprove the Bible, and none of them have succeeded. Historically, everything that's been able to be tested has proved to be accurate. Even now, people are finding out things which confirm what the Bible teaches. Archaeologists are making discoveries that corroborate biblical teaching. And yet there were times, there was an example a few years ago where the city of Jericho had never been discovered. And there was some, cynicism about what the Bible told about the city of Jericho. And yet, after that, they found the ruins of this city. Not only did they find the ruins of this city, they found ruins where the walls had crumbled down, corroborating the biblical account. And sometimes the history books have to be revised in line with what the Bible teaches, because that's what people find out. So people are sceptical sometimes about the Bible, but none of it has ever been proved to be wrong. But actually, the historical accuracy of the Bible isn't enough to suggest it's infallible, is it? What makes the Bible different from any other history book? Why can we be sure that something's not been lost in translation? Well, we've said it already, haven't we? It's God's word. And it is God, through his Holy Spirit, that gives us the interpretation. Taken as just a book of words, it's not really anything more than a history book. But when we read it and study it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then it becomes God's living word. It's the God-given understanding that makes the Bible infallible. We know that some versions, if not all, have some textual inaccuracies, and even some of the oldest manuscripts have slight differences between them. But the key point here is that it's God who wrote the original. Through human authors, yes, but it's God who wrote it. It's God who oversees the translations, and it's God who gives the interpretation. And I, for one, am quite convinced that God is powerful enough to make sure that what we get is what he wants us to know, if we sincerely want to know. So it's important that we get the best translation possible. Of course it is. But God can and show us the true meaning. And that's why we can refer to the Bible as a living word. Because God can use the same passage to say different things to different people, can't he? How many times have you perhaps been read a passage you've read many times in the past and suddenly something jumps out at you and tells you what you needed to know right then? This is why we will never exhaust the Bible. We'll never exhaust what God has to teach us through the Scriptures, however many times we read it. It is the living word of God to his people. And that's why the Bible is our only authority where faith is concerned. It's the only thing that God has given us that we can rely on. Think about it. What else is there? Everything else comes down to man's opinion, which cannot be infallible, however well-intentioned, however sincere. How did you become a Christian? If you're a Christian here tonight. Well, it might be that you heard a sermon. It might be that somebody spoke to you personally about how to become a Christian and told you what you needed to do. Well, how did they know? Someone told them. How can you be sure what you've been told is correct? This is a matter of eternal life, don't forget. It really matters that it's right. How can you be sure that what somebody has told you about becoming a Christian is right? Well, the only way we can know for sure is to know what God says. And the only place we find that is in the Bible. There is nowhere else. If somebody tells you that to become a Christian, all you have to do is do more good things than bad, that's their opinion, because it's not in the Bible. The Bible tells us clearly we need to repent and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we become his followers. The Bible has to be our final authority. In John chapter 6, we read of a day when some of Jesus' followers were finding his teachings too hard, and many of them couldn't accept it and left. And Jesus said to the 12 who were there, he said, "Do you want to leave too?" And Peter replied, saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." There is nowhere else to go. The Scriptures have the words of eternal life. And ultimately, we'll either accept what the scriptures teach or we don't. But there can be no halfway house here. The Bible is either God's word in its entirety or it isn't. It either has final authority or it doesn't. So how does that affect us today? Each one of us is responsible for checking up what we're taught. We should eagerly desire to hear God's word preached, but we have to think for ourselves as well. You know, the Bible gives us numerous warnings, doesn't it, about false teachers, false prophets, error that's taught in the church that will lead us away from the truth if we're not careful. And we must be aware of these things, looking out for these things. And don't think that that means somebody's going to come along with a placard saying, "I teach false teaching," so we can all spot it really easily. That's not the way it works. The sort of errors that are likely to lead us astray are not always so obvious. And it's not always easy to spot the people who teach that error. In fact, it may well be people we admire and respect that could lead us astray, deliberately or accidentally. You see, the devil is very subtle. And we have to be careful. All of us are in danger of falling into the trap of false teaching if we're not careful. So how do we tell? Back to the scriptures, of course. That's our touchstone. But do you know enough of the Bible to be able to do that? This is why it's so important that we read the Bible, that we study the Bible, that we immerse ourselves in the scriptures. What did the Bereans do? They examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. Do we take the Bible seriously? Unfortunately, it's common in the church today to find that experience often holds more weight and authority than the Bible. Increasingly, churches are forsaking the Word of God, preferring to pander to the whims of men. Did you notice the start of the reading that Steve gave for us there about what was going to happen in the last days, the godlessness that will happen? Why is that? Because people have turned away from God, turned away from his word. And if you go over to the next chapter, just a few verses on, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3, it says this: "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." And you know what? We can do that if we're not careful. This isn't just talking about people outside of the church. If we're not careful, we can do that. We can listen to the preacher who says what we want to hear. Perhaps someone who will twist scripture to make it say what we'd like it to say. You know, we've got to be guided by the clear teaching of scripture, not what we'd prefer it to say. There are difficult things in the Bible. There are things that all of us find hard. But we can't twist it around to make it sound better just to please our itching ears. Some people will say today that the Holy Spirit leads us to things outside of Scripture, and in some cases that even contradict Scripture. Let me make this very, very clear. If you think you're being led by the Spirit in a way that contradicts the Bible, it is not God's Spirit that's leading you. Okay? It's not God's Spirit that's leading you. God's Spirit never contradicts God's Word. Let's just finish this evening by considering Paul's words, chapter 3, verse 16 of 2 Timothy, a verse you all know incredibly well, I'm sure. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Remember we said last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit, and that the word Spirit can mean breath or wind. And we saw, didn't we, that when God speaks His word, it is carried on the breath. The Trinity summed up in that. The word of God carried on the breath of God, accomplishing what God wants it to accomplish. The hand of men may have written the words down, but the words themselves are breathed by God. It's useful for teaching. Now, the purpose of Scripture is that we might be taught what God wants us to learn. And God has given people the gift of teaching. But we're still to check up. We're still to make sure that what they're teaching us is what is in accordance with Scripture. It teaches us, doesn't it, the way of salvation. It's useful for rebuking. And sometimes we do need to be rebuked, don't we? When perhaps someone is doing something clearly contrary to what the Scriptures teach us, they need to be put right. We're to rebuke those who teach error. Not with our opinions, but with Scripture. It's useful for correcting. Not the same as rebuking, it's a bit more gentle, isn't it, correcting? When you make a mistake, you are corrected. When you deliberately go wrong, you are rebuked. We should be continually correcting and encouraging one another in love. Encouraging one another with the Scriptures. Helping one another to move on. It's for training in righteousness. Why do we need training? Because we need to learn what God expects of us. You know, young children need training in all sorts of ways, don't they? Just imagine how they would turn out if they were left to their own devices. It wouldn't be a pretty sight, I'm quite sure of that. We train them in polite society. What's acceptable in our culture? Good manners, hopefully, things like that. If we go to different countries, we need to be trained, don't we, sometimes, in their culture, to know what's acceptable in that particular culture. And we need training as Christians in the way God expects us to behave. And we find that instruction in Scripture, being trained in righteousness, doing right in God's eyes. And it thoroughly equips us. All of this together means we are thoroughly equipped to live the life God wants us to live. We have everything we need to survive in this world as followers of Jesus. You wouldn't go off to climb Mount Everest without making sure you're properly equipped, would you? In fact, you probably wouldn't go off to climb Mount Everest, most of us. But you wouldn't go without the proper equipment. You'd find out about the journey. You'd find out what you needed. The food, the clothes, survival aids, etc., etc. You'd make sure, if you had any sense, you were properly equipped. The Bible provides us with the equipment we need to live the life God's called us to live. We'd be very foolish to ignore it. The Bible should be very important to us, especially in an age where man's opinion seems to count more than God's word. It's a sad fact that the church has slipped into believing what men want to say rather than what God wants to say. The Bible is perhaps seen as a reference book by some, but it's more than that. For those who wish to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible is our final authority. Absolute, without question, it is the Bible. The Bible is God's revealed word and therefore it must have the final authority in all matters. I think we have easy access to the scriptures, don't we? I'm sure many of you have got lots of different versions on your bookshelf. And because of that, we often take it for granted. We often don't see the value the Bible has. I hope tonight that we've redressed that balance slightly, that we begin to see the importance of the scriptures, that we read it every day, that we take it to heart, that we learn it, that we immerse ourselves in it, so that we're able to stand in the world around us, equipped to live for God, to follow Him, to do what He wants us to do. Let me encourage you this evening. Take your Bibles seriously. Make the effort to spend time reading it, studying it, and sharing it to encourage one another. This is God's Word, and it has greater value than anything else this world has to offer. Let's pray.